Welcome to the Speaking of Women's Health podcast. I'm your guest host, Lee Klecker, the producer of Speaking of Women's Health, and I'm happy to be back in the Sunflower House. On this new podcast episode, I'm interviewing Alexis Supan, and we will be talking about the anti-inflammatory diet today. So Alexis is a registered dietitian at the Cleveland Clinic in the Center for Integrative and Lifestyle Medicine. Alexis earned her Bachelor of Science degree in dietetics from The Ohio State University, and she completed a dietetic internship at MetroHealth Medical Center here in Cleveland, Ohio as well, and that's where she became a registered and licensed dietitian in 2009. She has also earned a Master of Public Health degree from Case Western Reserve University, and her area of focus for her master's was on health promotion and disease prevention. Prior to joining the Cleveland Clinic, she spent time working as a clinical dietitian at Marymount Hospital, also here in Northeast Ohio, and as an outpatient dietitian at a bariatric surgery center. In this time, she received advanced training in weight loss and earned a certificate of training in obesity interventions for adults. Since joining the Cleveland Clinic in 2021, Alexis has been a regular contributor to the Cleveland Clinic Health Essentials and Speaking of Women's Health. And she has also contributed to other publications such as the Cleveland Magazine, Today.com, and Everyday Health. She enjoys talking about food and nutrition with her patients and her colleagues. And she's also passionate about educating others and how to make realistic and sustainable changes that can improve their health and their quality of life. And she splits her time between seeing patients individually and speaking to groups on specific health and nutrition concerns or interests they have. And I think this is so cute. So she has two cats named Macaroni and Cheese. I love it. I mean, that may be the best two pet names I've ever heard. And also in her free time, which I'm sure she doesn't have much of, she enjoys playing volleyball, traveling, and cooking. Yes. Welcome, Alexis.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. We're so excited. I mean, Alexis has, for our audience out there, done numerous columns for us on speakingofwomenshealth.com. So we're very excited to have her on the podcast for the first time.
Yeah.
And I think this is, the topic today, as I mentioned, is what does an anti-inflammatory diet mean and what are the benefits?
Sure.
So I know I hear as a patient that anti-inflammatory a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot on social media about the diet and what we should eat. So I'm excited to have you on today so you could share a little bit more about this topic with us.
Great. Excited to be here.
So let's start with, what is an anti-inflammatory diet?
Yeah, so that's actually a pretty interesting question right off the bat, because it's a little bit different than most diets we talk about. You know, most diets we talk about have their set of guidelines, eat this, don't eat this. The anti-inflammatory diet, it's almost more of an idea where you eat foods that help fight inflammation and keep chronic inflammation low in your body, and you try and limit foods that promote inflammation and kind of cause us to be inflamed. The popular diets out there that are anti-inflammatory diets are things like the Mediterranean diet or the DASH diet. So both of those would be considered anti-inflammatory diets.
Okay. Yeah. And I've heard of both of those. Yeah. So especially the Mediterranean diet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our doctors are always recommending that for a healthy lifestyle and healthy heart.
Definitely our top recommended one for sure.
I mean, can you go into a little bit for maybe those that aren't familiar with the diets, like what you would eat in the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet?
Yeah. So truly both diets are very similar. The commonalities of them are they both say eat a good amount of fruits and vegetables, specifically a colorful variety of fruits and vegetables. Eat whole grains instead of refined carbohydrates. So things like whole wheat bread versus white bread. Don't eat too much of the red meats or the processed meats. Don't eat too much added sugar. For proteins, try and stick mostly with fish or beans or low-fat dairy. Now, one place where DASH differs is DASH says chicken and turkey are okay. Mediterranean says you still want to try and limit those. And the DASH diet says cook with vegetable oils, whereas the Mediterranean diet says really primarily try and use just olive oil.
Okay, great. So you touched on this a little bit, but what are the benefits then for our bodies with an anti-inflammatory diet?
Yeah, so there's a few benefits. For anyone dealing with certain chronic diseases that have been linked to chronic inflammation, and there's a lot of them out there. This is kind of most diseases we encounter. Heart disease, diabetes, obesity, Alzheimer's, you know, the list goes on and on for diseases that are linked to chronic inflammation. An anti-inflammatory diet can help lower those levels of chronic inflammation we experience in our body with those diseases. And then from that, we kind of lessen our symptoms. So let's say you have arthritis. Arthritis is linked to chronic inflammation in the body. Following an anti-inflammatory diet can help calm down that inflammation and lessen your pain. So oftentimes, if we have someone start this, they'll start to notice their arthritis pain really lessens or even goes away sometimes.
Huh, interesting. And would that be also for rheumatoid arthritis? Because I know that's a little different.
Yeah, it even helps people with rheumatoid arthritis. I'll say it might be a little bit more hit or miss. I have some people with rheumatoid arthritis who they'll change their diet and they're like, no, you know, things are still not great. But for a lot of people, they definitely can see a benefit there.
Oh, great. Yeah, my dad has rheumatoid arthritis. He was diagnosed. I mean, he was in his late 40s, you know, and male, which was kind
of unusual,
rare, but he smoked, which he does not now.
Good.
I'm so happy for him. Yeah. But he's been in remission for a while now, just kind of, you know, changing his lifestyle, quitting smoking, eating better.
That's excellent.
Great. So again, we touched on this because I asked you what foods are in a DASH diet.
Yeah.
And the Mediterranean diet, but maybe we could just give more of a list for our listeners of what foods and drinks are anti-inflammatory.
Sure. I'll start with drinks because that's easy. Water actually would be considered anti-inflammatory because staying hydrated is really helpful for your body. So water, teas, and this really goes for any type of tea, black tea, green tea, rooibos tea, and any type of herbal teas. All of them have antioxidants in them, and that's what helps fight inflammation. So any type of tea is good, and then coffee is actually also very good for us. Now, I will say with the teas and with the coffee, what you add to them could very much make them pro-inflammatory. So you load it up with sugar, you load it up with creams, it's not going to be so healthy. So as far as drinks, coffee, tea, and water are your good choices. And then again, for foods, that colorful variety of fruits and vegetables is really where we can get a lot of antioxidants and polyphenols. Those are what are really protecting our cells and keeping them healthy, and that's what helps fight inflammation. So that colorful variety of produce is essential. And then doing things like legumes, so your beans, your lentils, those are really good sources of fiber, which help fight inflammation. And doing whole grains is another good way to get those in. And then another really important thing to include is your healthy fats, specifically the omega-3 fats. Those are really good for our inflammation and keeping that down. That is what you can get largely from a lot of the fatty fish out there. Salmon, trout, sardines, oysters, all really good sources. Or for anyone who doesn't do fish, flaxseed, chia seeds, walnuts are all great options.
Okay. Wow, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then other than eating foods that are anti-inflammatory to help with inflammation, are there any other ways you can reduce inflammation in the body, like exercise or anything at home?
Yeah. So really kind of practicing the things we know are good for overall self-care and wellness, I'll say, really actually do help fight inflammation. Starting with sleeping enough, getting enough sleep, being well-rested is huge for helping our bodies out. So get enough sleep. Try and practice healthy stress management. That's a big one. When we are stressed, it takes a physical toll. It may feel like a mental or emotional issue. It takes such a huge toll on us physically. So really trying to address stress appropriately and manage it in a healthy way and not with sweets or sugar is really good. And then exercise. Good exercise can actually also help lessen inflammation. I would say just be smart about it. You know, if you've got arthritis pain, you don't want to be doing things like jumping around on your knees all day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Back to my dad again, but I try to get him to swim. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, you could go to your local Y and swim. And he was like, I am not swimming.
Yeah.
So, you know, but everyone has to find what works for them.
Exactly.
And, you know,
But swimming, yoga, biking might be a good option. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like a lot of guys like to get out there and bike, but it's at least low pressure on the joints.
Right. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you. And so how does someone know if they do have too much inflammation in their body? Would they have certain symptoms or things flare up or?
Yeah. So, I'll say this, the way you would know, like have it confirmed and be certain, is to see your doctor and have a test done. They could do a test called CRP in blood work, and that lets you know if you are having chronic levels of inflammation or if there is inflammation currently going on in your body. So that's one way to confirm it. But a lot of people can sort of figure it out on their own just based on their symptoms. Common symptoms are abdominal pain or discomfort or really any GI issues. So if you kind of were regular your whole life and then start to have constant issues with constipation or diarrhea, that could be an indication that you have some chronic inflammation going on. Or if you're experiencing much pain or fatigue. So if you start to have increasing joint pain or muscle fatigue, those are good indicators that you have some chronic inflammation. There's other symptoms, but a lot of them overlap with other things, like chest pain could be one. Of course, if you're having chest pain, you just want to get to your doctor immediately.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you mentioned having, like, if you're having GI issues and abdominal pain. So where would that inflammation be then? Would it be build up, like, somewhere in the body?
Yeah. So largely around your intestinal area is where we can see some inflammation, especially if you're having GI issues. That's likely what's going on, but it can be quite widespread for a lot of people.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Mm-hmm. Great. So we talked about then symptoms of inflammation just now. And then can, if left untreated, can too much inflammation cause serious problems?
Yeah. And this is interesting because this is where I would say the research is really still out and it's kind of newer research in this area. So as I mentioned before, we know the link of chronic inflammation and a lot of diseases, certain cancers, heart disease, diabetes. The research is out and the question is, does chronic inflammation cause those things? So we know they kind of go hand in hand, but we don't know kind of if it's a cause-effect relationship. If it is, and if that's what the research proves to be, then that chronic level of inflammation that some people might have from a poor diet or from ongoing stress could be one of the things that leads them to heart disease or to diabetes.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm just, I know that's a lot of questions we get on Speaking of Women's Health, like just through our forums and social media are a lot of GI issues, you know, a lot of acid reflux or IBS or IBD. And it's really interesting now as you're talking, I'm like, I wonder if so many of these, I mean, we know if you fix your diet and you eat better, it, obviously, right, you're going to feel better.
Yeah.
But it's kind of nice to know that, like, actually here is something you can really do and a plan to follow and see if it works for you.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely worth trying out if you've got any of those issues, really trying to stick to that anti-inflammatory diet and see if that lessens things. So many people see improvement with it.
Yeah. And how quickly can you see improvement?
Yeah. So it's, this is a tough one. You can see, it really depends kind of how far you go and how fast you go. You know, if you've got a very poor diet, if you're eating out a lot now or having a lot of sugar in your diet and you do a full 180 and you're fully following the Mediterranean diet, people within a week, within a couple of weeks will be like, oh my gosh, I feel great. Much more regular, no bloating, no abdominal pain. You can see the results really fast. At the same time, I have to mention along with that is that that isn't necessarily the best answer for everyone, you know, because sometimes when we make those huge swings really quick, they're totally unsustainable. We set ourselves up for failure. So you can see results fast, but you want to try and balance getting to those good results with doing sustainable changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sure if patients really, you know, are having some pain and they know it's from, and I mean, seeing someone like you,
yeah,
and really getting them. Yeah.
Yeah.
On like a good diet and helping guide them and coming up with a step-by-step plan.
Exactly. Having that plan written out is so helpful. When you think about it, it's what we do in so many other facets of our life. You know, you want to be trained and you want to be a veterinarian. You have a plan. You go to college. They tell you what classes to take. When we want to make these big changes with our diet or our lifestyle, there's no nice plan. You don't just kind of sign up for something and get all the answers you need. So I work with a lot of people for that to kind of help get them a plan.
Yeah. Great. Okay. So, it's not just, I guess, an anti-inflammatory diet that people should aim for, right, as we talked about, mm-hmm, but the whole lifestyle then incorporating exercise, limiting stress,
or
any other like at home or even something that, you know, a dietitian or a physician might recommend to patients?
Yeah. So I usually recommend people just start with cooking at home one more meal a week than they are. There's the research on it is actually quite fascinating. When we cook at home, even without the intention of cooking healthier, so I don't mean cook at home, make yourself a boring salad, you know, that's vegetables and no dressing or anything like that. If you decide to make the same meal you would eat out just at home, massive improvements for our health. We have such better control of ingredients. So that's just one little place to start. If you could build up that habit to the point where you're making most of your food at home, the results will just be endless as far as your overall health goes. It really does a huge amount to improve your overall health, lower your sodium intake, lower your sugar intake, lower your saturated fat intake. So start some home cooking. It's such a nice way to manage stress too.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm, and it doesn't have to be, you know, I sometimes get overwhelmed by the idea of, okay, I've got to get, you know, I've got three kind of busy teens right now. Nobody drives yet.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. All I do is drive these kids around and I have no life.
Yeah.
But we don't do a lot of like takeout or even but what
good
we make is kind of fast and you know, and everyone's got particular what they like. Oh, I don't like that or that.
Yeah.
So I feel overwhelmed sometimes trying to even find something, mm-hmm, you know, or I just get bored of making the same stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. The boredom is always a real issue. I always encourage people try one new recipe a week, put all of the ones you like aside in a box and a document on your computer, keep track of them so you can turn back to that. So many of us, and I'm guilty of this too, we find something we like, we eat it all the time. And then one day we wake up and it's like, I never want to eat that food again. Like I do not ever want to look at cottage cheese. And then years go by and you kind of forget about it. So slowly building up that big variety of recipes, you know, your family likes is so helpful. Yeah. Of course, with kids, it's always a tough one because they like something one day and not the next, but worth a shot.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And our house is big like that. We get really into something, mm-hmm, and then I'll start making it, you know, once a week. And then they're like, oh, I don't want this now. I'm like, oh.
Right. And you're like, you're going to eat it. We have multiple servings.
Right. Yeah. I just cooked an hour for an hour. So everyone's eating dinner right now.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's great. And we will have Jim Perko, who
awesome,
Chef Jim, coming on the podcast in a couple months. And he's going to be talking about healthy recipes, how to cook more at home.
Fantastic.
It'll be a perfect part two to our podcast. And for our listeners out there on our speakingofwomenshealth.com website, we have a whole recipe section. And you can also filter those by vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free. Yeah. So for those of you listening out there, if you're looking for new recipes, that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
A lot of good heart-healthy Mediterranean diet recipes also.
Great.
Well, this has been so great. So I have a few more questions.
Sure.
Because anytime we can get our hands on a dietitian who can give us some tips, we're going to take advantage of that time. But do you have any general tips or advice or, you know, what are your top five kind of, you know, pieces of information that you share with your patients, you know, regularly?
Yeah. Oh, so many good things I could share. General tip and advice, start small. When it comes to this diet stuff, start small and truly start today. So many of us, and it totally makes sense. I get it. I empathize, but so many of us get caught up in this analysis paralysis when it comes to diets and eating healthy and just overall wellness. It feels like there's so much to do. I mean, I get it. You know, you look online as far as what should I do to be healthy? Eat the Mediterranean diet, only cook at home, work out 5 days a week, do yoga and meditation. Yeah. Sleep enough. Most people look at them, they're like, oh my gosh, like I'm not doing anything. Where do I start? It's so easy to get overwhelmed. Instead of caring about everything, just pick one small thing. If you want to improve your diet, if you usually go out for Starbucks sometimes, get some good teas, keep some, you know, boxes of herbal teas at home and try and do that a little more often. Mm-hmm. Take that first baby step and then just slowly build on that. If you do that within a year's time, you could have greatly, greatly improved your health without ever feeling like you had to totally scrap your current lifestyle and do a full 180. And all of a sudden you'll be so much healthier without all the stress of that. So starting small really is helpful.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. I'm thinking mine might have to be limiting the creamer in my coffee. I know.
Yeah.
I love that creamer so much.
Yeah.
And I got this like foaming Keurig thing that foams it now too.
Yeah. Oh, I have a foamer too. I love it. Found it at like TJ Maxx, one of my favorite purchases of that year. Well, let me share this with you because this is something I really encourage patients to do. If you love that, if that makes your morning, if that starts your day on the right path, I wouldn't automatically say like, oh, I should stop. I would, so one of the biggest problems with like our creamers in the morning is the sugar. And sugar really is the most inflammatory food we have. And sugar intake for Americans is horrendous. I think for women, we should be trying to aim for 24 grams or less of added sugar a day. The average American sugar intake is closer to 70 grams.
Wow.
So very, very bad. And I, so the reason I thought of this is because oftentimes I'll have patients who will start talking about like an anti-inflammatory diet, how to lower inflammation. I'll bring up sugar. And the first response will be like, oh, no, I'm not much of a sweets person. We don't need to discuss that. I don't need to worry about that. And then I'll say, no, we're going to do this. We're going to walk through it. And the sugar sneaks in everywhere. I have so many people who are at that 70 grams of sugar a day without touching a single actual like sweet or dessert because it's in their yogurt, it's in their oatmeal, it's in their granola bar, it's in their barbecue sauce. Barbecue sauce is a huge culprit of added sugars. So I usually tell people, look at everything, look at all the stuff that gives you sugar, and then you decide where is it worth it. I know for me, I think it's worth it in my coffee in the morning. I love it. Oh, I sit down. I sit down with my cats, mac and cheese, and we have our nice little coffee time. And I would never give it up for anything. I'd happily not have barbecue sauce and, you know, have my coffee instead. So if you love that creamer in your coffee in the morning, for sure. I mean, look at everything, but keep it in there if you like it and find other ways to get rid of sugar. There's probably some sneaking in.
I like that. Thank you. Because the idea of having to not have it is making me stressed. And then there's another anti-inflammation.
Right? Yeah. And you're like, I'm trying to lower my inflammation. It's getting worse. Yeah. It's so tough. There's so much to balance. Yeah. So
you're right. There is.
Yeah. If you're worried about it at all, I really would sit down, start looking at labels for the added sugar. Most of us have places. So many people have added sugars in foods they don't even care about, in foods they eat because they think they're being healthy, you know. You add some craisins to your salad thinking these are good for me, but they're loaded with sugar. So there's probably places you could find to be healthier. And if there isn't, then you don't really have to worry about your sugar if it's not creeping in other places.
Right. Oh, that's really helpful. I'm thinking also one of our other guest podcast hosts, Sylvia Morrison, she used to work at Cleveland Clinic. She's retired now.
Yeah.
But she writes down everything she eats. Oh. She keeps a food journal. Yes.
Yeah.
And she weighs herself every morning, but she loves it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not something that overwhelms her or stresses. She needs that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Some people thrive off of it. Some people it's like comforting to them, and that's good. Yeah. Not a stressor. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just start with maybe documenting my sugar, added sugars that are in the labels. That's perfect. I'm good there.
Yeah. Good.
Oh. So also, if any of our listeners out there wanted to make an appointment with you or, you know, get this wonderful advice, how would they go about doing that? How can they make an appointment and get a hold of you?
Yeah. So if anyone is already on my chart, super easy. You can hop on my chart and go to schedule an appointment and scroll down to the Center for Lifestyle and Integrative Medicine. That's always an option for people. So like usually it lists your providers and then after that will be one of the options at the bottom. If you click that, it takes you to a page and then you just click nutrition and the rest is very obvious from there. You just have to click nutrition. Once you get to that page, it'll be tempting to click some of the other things because that's where we have the other things we offer at our center, which are like massage and the chiropractors. So you could schedule with me there or you could schedule yourself a massage. Do both. Take care of your total body.
Yeah.
So there's that. For anyone who isn't on my chart, our number is 216-448-4325. So you could just call our center too to schedule.
Great. And we'll make sure to put this information in the show notes for our listeners out there.
Yeah.
So you can make an appointment with Alexis and get, you know, all this great advice. And like she said, you know, just kind of starting small and start today. So if you're listening right now, you know, go home and maybe just think of one little thing that you can change, you know, and see if that makes you feel better.
Yeah, definitely. If it's nice out, go for a quick walk before you walk in your door. Park your car, go for a walk. Something simple like that can really do a lot for people.
There's sunshine here in Cleveland now, so I'm definitely planning to go for a walk after work today.
I know, same here.
Yeah, and then we get our vitamin D.
So. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Well, this has been so great. Thank you so much, Alexis, for joining us.
Of course. Oh, definitely. I had a great time.
Yes. And we'd love to have you back. And we'll talk more all about, you know, kind of part two of this. So we've started something. What, you know, what can we do next?
Yeah. To see what next? And, how to build on it? Sounds great.
Yeah. Great.
Awesome.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of the Speaking of Women's Health podcast. We are so grateful for all of your support, and we hope you will consider supporting the podcast, sharing it with others, donating to our nonprofit, Speaking of Women's Health, or leave a 5-star rating on the podcast. And to catch all the latest from us, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And it's free to subscribe. And so when you do, you won't miss any future episodes. And if you do have a women's health question or topic that you would like for us to discuss on a future podcast episode, visit speakingofwomenshealth.com, fill out our contact us form, and you might just hear your topic on an upcoming episode. So thank you again for listening, and we will see you next time in the Sunflower House.
Thank you, everyone.